Here.
And everyone, I just hit record. So we are recording this. Who else we got? Kate Conrad.
And David Van Allen.
And David Van Allen is here. Okay. Did I forget anyone?
Okay. So I assume everybody's had a chance to read the from the last meeting. Do we have any changes or edits to the minutes, any amendments? If not, I would be happy to entertain a motion to approve.
I move or second.
Okay, David, way up. David Van Allen moves and David
Meyer
seconds.
Okay, there.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Thank you. All right, so this moves to public input. Do we have anyone for public input besides our regular guests here today, Stephanie?
Yeah. Not that I know of. I'm going to double check over here. Nope.
A lot of my input this time.
You do have
public?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This one will be pretty quick. I just wanted to make the Public Art Commission aware of a little exchange that happened at our latest city council meeting that I thought was really good, would be really helpful for you guys. Public Works was showcasing some new bus shelters that they're going to be putting on some of our bus stops around the city. I believe something around 15 or 13-ish, don't quote me on that number. But when they presented their plan to create those bus stops and like how they would be able to help bus ridership in the city, Ashley Benorni, one of the council members, mentioned, would this be a great opportunity to kind of add some art to those bus stops, make those bus stops a little bit artful, colorful, beautiful. And so it seems like that would be some sort of collaboration between Public Works and Development. I'm not sure kind of where the lines are in terms of what can aesthetically be done with city, with official city property versus like public art, like what's art versus what's utility. If you guys can at some point, kind of work that, kind of see what the opportunities are, I think it might be a really great opportunity for our community. Have art on these new bus stops. The public's going to be seeing these new stops, and they're, if they see them and they see that there's some, effort, human expression put into those bus stops, it'll kind of draw to, some of that more communal modes of transportation, and just kind of get a bit of that pride of place and understand that this community is kind of thriving for, art. Not normally a back and forth, but
I just have a quick question then. Are these bus stops, these structures themselves, are they coming off the shelf somewhere or pre-made, or can they be designed in such a way to really do a nice job of presenting?
Probably be a good question for the Public Works Department.
Okay, that's not one that you're
I was just attending a city council.
You're just a messenger.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Oh, yes.
Record?
Yep. Yeah. I'm Isaac Davis. I live in 1215 Oakman Road.
Super. Thanks so much. And thank you for that input. So, Stephanie, based on that, would it be appropriate for us through you to reach out to Public Works to see if they could send a representative to talk with us about possibly collaborating on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I will check into that for the next meeting.
That's so exciting.
Since they typically are transparent, structures with the plexiglass windows all around, might be interesting to do a transparency of artwork. So they're seeing through and being backlit by sunlight and enrich the colors because of that, something like that.
Cool. Okay, so moving on, we have several guests with us today.
Yes.
So we want to start with our interactive musical sculpture.
Tell me when you're ready.
Yeah, hang on. I'm sharing the wrong thing. I have too many tabs up here. So just one moment. I can.
Maybe we can just introduce ourselves.
Go ahead, please.
My name is Candy Wong, and I am a board member for Orchestra Iowa. I happen to chair the 100th Anniversary Task Force. 100th anniversary is this current year. Birthday is actually April 13th.
Whose birthday?
The Orchestra Iowa.
Oh, Orchestra, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm here with John Schwarzkopf, who's an artist on this project that we're pursuing, and also Jesse Toming is involved from the city standpoint in terms of some support for the project. I want to start by apologizing. I did not realize that we should be coming to you and presenting our project. So I'm late in that respect.
You're here.
And part of it starts with where we started. We had multiple objectives for the 100th year. One of the most important is that we wanted to recognize our long-serving, our long-playing musicians. And we've, since that initial thought, have identified 57 people who played for the orchestra for 20 years or more. So when we started on this project, the first version was, let's figure out how to honor our musicians in a way that's different than a donor roll plaque kind of thing, you know, because that was really boring. We actually started with the concept of stars in the sidewalk, just like in Hollywood. So if you played violin, you'd have your name with violin and you'd have yours in cello or whatever it might be. And then after some thinking, we figured out that this is Iowa and we have snow and we have to shovel, right? So it would be scraping over these beautiful things. So we abandoned ship on that. And then we pursued a bunch of other ideas. The second was to, hey, let's incorporate another objective here. We need to reach out to the public as all cultural institutions, the attention that you get from the numbers of people, particularly with symphonic music, are diminishing. So the more we can get people to think about music, the better off we are. So then we thought, let's put a big musical instrument outside of the orchestra. And there was no discussion of art then either. But as we move forward through the iterations, I talked to people like John and some other artists in town, and we came up with this idea of having essentially a two-sided piece. And we needed some components, if you will, so that it would look beautiful from both sides. And thus we came up with the current idea of the sound wave. So that's my excuse for not coming to you initially, because I didn't know it was going to be a piece of art. I thought it was going to be a donor recognition or a musician recognition thing, as well as a musical instrument. So
I'm really glad you're here now. And I am showing a map to the Public Art Commission right now, so you can see, and then we'll launch into Candy's presentation. But the blue star is the area where we're talking for this interactive sculpture.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is in front of Orchestra Iowa. And it, just for context, right now we're here at City Hall. So we're just talking about two and a half blocks. So I'm going to stop sharing that one and we'll go to the presentation now.
Okay. So you can go to the next slide.
Did you want this keyboard?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll save you some.
Thank you. So as I said, it's our 100th year anniversary, and we've done lots of things. Thank you. Starting with having some very special artists come in as part of the season. We also recently completed a retrospective video that's currently playing at the History Center. It's a 30-minute video that takes you all the way back to 1923. And we were able to find lots of people who are still alive, actually, who knew of what was going on back there. Of course, Tim Hank, which is the current maestro, is kind of the featured speaker in it. But it's all about how the orchestra is here for the community and because of the community. And if you get a chance, we had a free premiere a couple weeks ago, but you can still see it at the History Center. They're playing it on a loop. You just have to pay to get into the History Center. So that was one of the projects that really was designed to help people understand how we're a part of the community. As I said, this particular project, and we have a bunch of other things going on, I won't take up your time, but this particular project is very, very important. It's something that Tim himself, Hankowicz, has really endorsed. If you don't love music, you're never going to study music or play music. And we have lots of people out there loving music, but they don't get an opportunity to play, especially in kind of a free setting. So the one aspect of what we're trying to do is very, very important. Push the arrow up or push the arrow
down?
Down. Not working.
Amen. The down arrow? Other one.
Okay.
There.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
Okay. Critically, our slogan, if you will, is that we want to think about the future, even though it's our 100-year anniversary. So 100 years into the future is kind of an underlying thought of everything that we've been trying to do this year. A lot of our performers we've actually had come in are younger, and they, you know, just try to make people feel like there's promise for them if they're musicians as well. So whatever our piece was going to be that we were going to create needed to be future-oriented. Okay, as I said, we started with the recognition of musicians, but then we overlaid this encouragement for people of all ages to play music. One of the initial criticisms that we received was, well, you'll get bums playing this. I want everyone to play, okay? The whole idea is if this gives you a little bit of joy, if it gives you a little interlude in your day, and if you feel good about having to play a little bit of music, this is a real positive thing for anybody. And if we can further encourage them to be musicians down the road, that's incremental on top of that. So I'm happy with it. So the concept is very simple, actually. It's a 20-foot long interactive musical sculpture. There are two sides. One incorporates 38 chimes, a diatonic set and a pentatonic set, to allow people who really know music to play on the diatonic, and then the pentatonic has notes taken out of it, so whoever goes up there, it can't sound bad. you're going to get little, we want little kids to go and play, and we want them to feel positive. So it's 38 chimes mounted on one side, and then the name plaques of the current 57 known 20 plus year musicians, and then room for further ones down the road would be on the other side. Structurally, it's a piece that's composed of the purchased chimes that come from a company in the UK, as well as the sculptural part of it that John is working on, made out of paper stone, which is an environmentally friendly, it's really hard, it's really like waterproof, and it's made out of waste, totally. So paper stone is a dominant component, and then stainless steel. Besides John, Dale Merrill is to be a partner on this, and he obviously is a metal worker, and we, as you said, intend to install it on the sidewalk directly in front of the orchestra building. I'll explain a little bit more when we see the picture. Just a little bit about John for anybody that doesn't know. He's known for his simplicity and his elegance of design. The whole kind of, and you can correct me if you'd like. I mean, less is more. It's just about the form. And it all relates actually to his furniture making background. And I asked John to be a part of this because I know that if you can make furniture that lasts forever structurally, it's really important this lasts a long time too. And he's done everything from the benches in the courthouse to the really cool mobile structure at Xerox Bank and Trust. So he's used to doing public work if you all. Dale, of course, has done multiple pieces of public art. The most recent in Cedar Rapids was this Forge, Stand, and Rise for the League of Women Voters. And then he's also in Marion done that grandiose corn sculpture, if you will, on that roundabout there. So they are both not only able, but experienced in designing things to be outside. Okay, so this is a computer drawing. It'll be prettier than this. But here you see the side that would face the buildings. And here is this pentatonic set on the left and the diatonic set on the right. It's all designed so that both adults and children would be able to play this. What you see then is a blue, and that's not the color of buoy. That would be more of a aqua, brighter blue that represents water. That is to be a perforated stainless steel panel that not only screens the other side, but lends some substance to this side of the piece, if you will. If we just go to the opposite side for a second, that little sign on the left would be a sign that would go both ways and would describe the piece and the significance of it. It's approximately 20 feet wide, and in total height, it is a little over 5 feet. Is that right, John?
Yeah.
A little, yeah. And we've done it, of course, to design so that, you know, we can be ADA compliant as well. Okay. The other side, which faces the bike lane, is an abstract musical score. And obviously it would have the same painted panel behind it. And then each of those little round discs represents a name plaque for one of the musicians. There is discussion as well that we might include some other arts organization recognition there. We've got plenty of room. And obviously, as time goes by and as people ascend to 20 plus years, we would add individual plaques. Nothing too fancy, just their name and the instrument they play. So that's essentially what it looks like. And we placed it on the sidewalk in such a way that there would be plenty of room on the plaque side, because that's very important to us to have people around there. And that's just how it looks in terms of the measurements and all that. Are there any questions on that so far?
The very bottom there is the front doors of the Paramount.
The top. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on there. There's a lamp, there's some medallions around. So we just need to get it away from there. But there's still plenty of room in terms of passage. And if you know that the building is right next to the Paramount too, which is part of its magic, because we get all kinds of people going to the Paramount for all kinds of events and concerts. So it's not just people going to the symphony. It's lots and lots of different kinds of people. Sometimes you have to line up. And so we're hoping that because of the proximity of this, that people actually stop and play.
Would it be, would somebody who knew how to play the marimbas be able to work on that pretty well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or some other bells?
Yep. Yeah. We had the lead percussionist in the orchestra kind of check things out first. I don't know music really, and you know, a little bit, but we had Tom involved, and yeah.
So we could have a, I'm thinking about performance songs.
Yes, 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 yeah. Yes, you could. In fact, we're planning on having a street party, if you will. The idea is to actually begin construction at the end of the month, and we would be ready at the beginning of May, and it would be built actually in two pieces and installed that first week of May. And then currently we're planning on a street party, it's kind of May 13th or 16th, this is a Saturday. And at that point, we're going to have demonstrations, we're going to have some musicians playing. There's going to be, it's all free to the public, of course. We're talking about having street food, food court, actually music otherwise. Jesse has said that perhaps we could use the parking lot on the corner there where it's available just as a site for the whole party. So yes, a musician could play. Yeah. Are there any other questions?
Yeah, sound wave. I mean, that makes me think about wavelengths.
And you know, that's why we went with the blue.
Yeah.
is because we're right near the river, of course, and we're very cognizant that that's an important part of Cedar Rapids. So we're just going to paint it blue. I mean, it might make you think of that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But that's not the intent.
Right. I was wondering if it was maybe incorporated into it to think about wavelengths. There's a possible didactic there.
Well, and we actually, that was one of John's first.
Of sound,
yeah,
or,
that was one of, one of John's original ideas. This sounds great. We don't want anything sharp. Okay. I mean, that was, you know, so if you have a little wave, you know how the, when you look at a sound wave diagram, it's got those little, so we kind of like to say, okay, maybe we should
want it to be curvy.
Yeah. Rethink that. Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't, you have to think of all that stuff. And we have gone to the city, Public Works is now called Development Services or something like that. And they have approved the encroachment. They've reviewed the components of the wall to make sure that we're not making some huge mistake from a design standpoint.
The thing that we had to allow for is that the people make the chimes, and I talked to them on the phone, they have very specific guidelines as how far off the ground,
mm-hmm.
how they're spaced, because this is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so to start with, you're locked into a certain layout, but the idea was to make it so that it'll look like it flowed like the music would flow.
Mm-hmm.
So when you reverse it, that's why the panel is the way it is. And what I was thinking about with the perforated metal is it's a lot like what's on the flood walls, where you've got ugly concrete blocks in there that you don't really see because it's perforated.
Mm-hmm.
If you went right up to it, you'd be able to look through and see the stuff on the side. But we want to keep it very simple, very clean, and more elegant design than something got really busy. And because I had drawn up some stuff that was much busier looking and looked terrible. So it's generally the simpler you keep it, the better it is, and the less fuss there is with maintenance things. So.
Yeah, I had another thought. What about parabolic reflectors mounted somewhere that would actually focus sound in a particular direction, like mounted in the upper corners and or something. Or
we worried about echoes.
Echo, right.
One of the, but I mean, it's not necessarily a problem.
Oh.
I talked to the China people about this. There are two ways they're normally mounted.
Uh-huh.
One is out in the open. They actually make a sets you can buy that have these rather wiggly looking things that hold them up. They look pretty bad, actually.
Uh-huh.
But that's for people who just want something that plays and no art function to it. They also, the free chimes that we ordered were designed so that people could either mount them on a custom arrangement or they could put them on the side of a building. And the problem is all those things get pretty boring. And they were intrigued by the art process. Like when I talked to them about what we were doing, because I needed the measurements on how things were spaced. It gets into technical stuff like you mount the mounting like certain nodal points on the chimes and all those kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they were intrigued by the whole process. They want to see pictures of it when we're done because it's an unusual project for them. People generally, it's usually looked at as very utilitarian. City will buy something for a park, stick it off in the corner someplace where people won't see it.
Mm.
Or they'll bolt it to the back of a music building someplace or a rec center or something. And it doesn't really do anything.
The location is really important in this whole thing because having lived downtown and having seen now various phases of downtown development, we need reasons for people to enjoy downtown core. I mean, there's Nouveau, but then there's, you know, the addition of the real downtown and anything we can get that's exciting, that's new, that's interactive downtown, I think is a real positive. And I think we can create some energy here with this project.
That's exactly what the downtown district's behind us 100%.
Yeah, I mean, he's been working hard. We're sort of jumping around here, but Schmidt has agreed to fund part of this. The Economic Alliance obviously is involved. Murals and More is contributing a little bit of money as well. We don't have all the money yet, but we've made application for a private grant for this as well. We'll get the money. I've just been working on this other stuff, frankly, that now we're getting sequential. And he's been wonderful talking to other people that are involved in downtown and getting this to be a collaborative project as opposed to just our little task force at the orchestra.
I got two more questions. One is sort of a follow-up on that last one about not that way. So it sounds like we're not necessarily going to install some little light reflector, sound reflectors or anything, but okay. Could it be designed somehow, or at least thought, conceived of as something that you could bring your own modulators with you when you played on it? Maybe you brought your own reflectors, or brought your own...
Help me out here. I don't know what a modulator or reflector
something
is.
That alters the wavelengths, or something that alters the spread of...
They're in the open, so you're going to get basically sound from all directions.
Yeah.
Just by the nature of
it. And they will vibrate because of those sounds, right?
We have to be a little careful. We talked to some local property owners too.
Uh-huh.
And our initial version of the instrument, if you will, was much louder. And he, of course, protested that, oh no, my tenants are going to not be happy.
Like residential tenants?
Well, no, commercial tenants, actually. But, and we took that in as part of the feedback. These you can hear, but they're not nearly as loud as what we originally intended. Mm-hmm. Something like that, for sure, we could probably incorporate into special events.
Yeah.
As opposed to an everyday thing, because you know.
Right.
I mean, there's all kinds of things I think we can do with this. And conceptually, we should be having events constantly. I can say that because I don't actually work at York. I don't have to do these, but I can conceptually we should, because the whole thing is it's a downtown attraction. So that could certainly be incorporated at that time.
Yeah. Okay. And then my other question I'll show is
No, I didn't promise. Okay.
Speaking about the other vibrations that are happening in the neighborhood. Cars, buses, horns, construction, almost always some of that going on, and the wind. I wonder if this would qualify as an Aeolian harp, which is basically a harp that's made by hanging mostly wires, I think, strings that when the wind blows across it, they hum, they vibrate and hum.
They're pretty heavy. If you want to see them, they're down outside my shop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're already in town.
Oh, yeah, I can
see them. You had to pre-order these chimes like 100 years. Yeah.
I mean, they're just gorgeous. I mean, they're heavy and beautifully finished. I mean, they're just...
They're also perfectly tuned, and they will retain their sound quality. Which,
These are
I don't know how they do it, but it's
so they won't rust and
the whole thing is sharp. It is to be very low maintenance. I mean, we're gonna have to, there's birds downtown, okay? We know that we're gonna have to clean it, but it's all waterproof, the whole thing as well. So,
would it be possible to blow air on it to make
probably not? You have to normally on a pipe organs work by blowing air
through
the bottom. They don't actually go through.
Oh, they don't go through.
No. It's like a pop bottle. Yeah, it's like a pop bottle.
Uh-huh.
So it's always a misnomer. Everybody thinks these big pipes are pumping like 1,000 cubic feet of air for a long time. No, you blow across and the sound waves form because you've got air moving. Sets up air moving cycle.
Uh-huh.
So the longest pipe in this is 5 feet. The shortest pipe is about, if I remember right, about 18 to 19 inches.
Uh-huh.
So I should memorize all these because I have them all written down. I've figured about them in the past. But anyway, they won't play themselves. They come with what they call beaters, which are these rubberized mallets.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember how many sets we get with that thing. I know we have them.
There's four mallets for that spread there.
Okay.
Are you hung somewhere on chains?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, they come with a cable.
Uh-huh.
Anyway,
he's
got it all in
his
shop, so you can go
there. Yeah, he's just downstairs.
So commissioners, do we have other questions, other comments?
They're all on mute.
I think it's a fabulous idea because public
art is what involves people in the community. They love public art because maybe they won't go to the orchestra, the symphony, or even the things at the Paramount, but this is something that they can do and have.
And it can be done spontaneously. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Totally spontaneous. Yeah. That's the whole idea. Yeah.
Printed program and stuff.
No. And you like to take one part of it where you can't make bad music, which should never be. So where we're at right now is like we bought some of these parts, and John and Dale have been working on the design. There's lots of little issues structurally that they've been addressing. And then, like I said, we've been to Public Works, so that we've been through the whole encroachment thing. They have probably at this point already given it to City Council for via a consent agenda for their March 14th meeting, since we're on city property. And then if that goes okay, and if nobody else has any objections, we would start the construction actually end of the month. And now that because of Trinidad and the Economic Alliance and Murals and More, we have at least enough money to pay for these chimes now and to pay for the paper stone that John has ordered. So we're just going to move forward with getting the rest of the funds in as they construct this. And like I said, May 13th or 16th, whatever the right date is the planned public unveiling. Jesse has already said that he would do the lights on the building for us, and we are going to run the video actually on the big screen that goes on the Armstrong building. And we don't know what music we're going to have supplemental to this outside, but we will have music, we will have instruction. And God willing, the weather will be good that day too.
By the way, I do have a full-size template made out of how the bird pieces work on that, and that's in my shop too. So
okay.
See that.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
I got a couple of really, sort of more, I think it's beautiful too. But in terms of placement, since it's on city property, who owns the piece? Is this
the orchestra owns the piece, and we insure it and we maintain it.
So they own it.
Yeah.
And they're getting an agreement, or if you haven't already, they're working on an agreement with the city to install this piece on city property.
Okay.
Yeah.
Council has to agree. Public Works has agreed.
Yeah. And I did want to point out too here, I guess if I walk up there, I can see. But on that bottom part where it says medallion and lab base, that is brick paver there.
Right.
The medallion on the left is part of the public art collection. It's one of, I think, part of a series of four pieces, but it looks like you've successfully navigated that to not encroach or, do anything to that. But that, I just wanted to point out that is part of a series of four. I think they're all along that same block.
That's
right?
flush with the pavement, right?
Yes.
It's in the pavers.
Not so with the land base. Right.
So what happens if the Orchestra Iowa decides they're going to sell that building?
We can deinstall it.
Is
if
that
we're not for Orchestra.
So I would have to check on that if that were.
It's designed to be. Obviously, we have to build it in a way that we can install it. And if there's nothing done to it once it's in place, it would prevent it from being removed and reinstalled somewhere else.
Okay. Is your question, would we want to leave it there? Is that part of your question?
I think the question is, if for example, Orchestra Iowa went belly up or moved or something, we don't want that to happen, but that's
right.
What
right.
That's what we get paid the big bucks for.
Right.
Is that then what happens to it? What if it's abandoned?
I would lobby to put it over in the the park outside of the Bottle Works building in Newbo.
But what I'm saying is, what are you going to do with it? Not it needs to go.
So
that needs to be written. Yeah, that needs to be written into the agreement. Because if we don't own it and it becomes an eyesore or a problem,
we're the ones who are going to be.
So you would want us just to say we would deinstall it and take it elsewhere.
Have a plan.
To have a plan.
Right. Or you could ask us if we wanted to take it as a donation and we could say yay or nay, but right.
Yeah, so I think we can present something to this. Well, would you want that presented to this group or just the assurance that something like that is in that language?
I think for me, the assurance, I don't think it needs to be.
That there's a plan if in the event Orchestra Iowa is not located there, what is the plan? Is it to take it with you or to try and gift it to the city or whatever?
Yeah.
Can we install lights that shine light beams through those round holes? Create a sort of a light show out of it as well.
The round holes, those are plaques, metal plaques.
Oh, those are holes.
No, because that's like where your name goes in your instrument.
Oh, okay.
They're arranged as if it's musical notes on a score.
Okay, so what do we need to do for this group then?
I think that there needs to be something written that says if you're going to continue to own it, if this is not a piece that we own, that you're going to maintain it, and that if Orchestra Iowa ever leaves that property or decides not to, that they're not going to maintain it or becomes derelict, that they will deinstall it.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Just something straightforward like that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think anybody, I don't hear anybody saying, boy, I don't like this.
No, I think it's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, do we want a quick show of hands, commissioners? Can we stop?
Yeah, sorry.
So we can see everybody.
Yep.
And do we any further input? David, did you have something to say, or is that just a yes?
It's a vote?
Yeah. Okay. So, all in favor? Yeah.
Okay. So I see everyone's hands, it looks like.
Yes.
Unanimous.
It is unanimous.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
We're very excited about it.
It's fabulous. It's a
great
project.
It's an exciting project. I love it.
I can almost hear it now.
They sound beautiful. We
yeah, and thanks for bringing it to us. It's, you know, it's always exciting to have these private public partnerships and
did you have anything you wanted to add?
Just that, it fits right into our mission. We've been working, talking about this for a few months. I know you thought you were a little, I think this was the perfect time to come to this group where everything stands. There are so many variables and pieces. It's like you said, we need all the kind of cool stuff that gives people a reason to come back downtown when we still are struggling with the 50-60% workforce pre-pandemic. So. We're super excited. I one quick thing, 30 seconds. You mentioned the projector. It's starting to gain a little more popularity. We have a schedule. We have a service provider that helps with the programming and branding of it. On Thursday evenings, we feature local artists. And that local artist can be a muralist. That local artist can be a sculptor. That local artist can be a musician. And I bring that up because we just started this and I had a friend that we featured who's a graphic arts designer. He had some of his original content a couple of weeks ago, going through a divorce, really tough time. And to see him just so uplifted by seeing his own stuff on the biggest screen in town, it guys like, all right, this is why we did this in the first place. So I just wanted to let you guys know, anybody that you think has some original content that would like to be featured, send them our way and we'll get them teed up on the schedule.
So just have them contact you?
Yes.
Anyway, the Armstrong Building Committee changed the surface.
Well, we're going to move on to the agenda item.
Sure.
Yes,
yeah. But just because you mentioned that.
I'm just saying, not going to distract
people. Yeah, that's right. Because we still have multiple agenda items left. So
thank you.
And we can't wait to see it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just interested in staying for this part.
You're welcome.
Sorry. Thank you.
I think I'm going to take off.
Okay.
All right. Good to see you, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
See
you,
thanks.
Okay. So the audio portion of our downtown self-guided art tour.
Yeah. So as you hopefully remember, in I think October of last year, we launched the downtown self-guided
mobile art tour that encompasses 21 pieces of art all within a mile loop. And really the second phase of that art tour has always been that we would add an audio portion to that tour, not only to be more engaging to the community, but also to add an opportunity for maybe, you know, some who rely on, you know, auditory cues more than others. So we want to be able to offer this, and we would like to reach out to the artist of the pieces on this, the 21 pieces on this tour, and gauge their willingness to record a very short audio blurb for the tour about their piece, kind of maybe a fun fact or interesting, you know, tidbit about their piece, and offer a stipend to these artists for recording that piece. They would coordinate that with our communications team, or, you know, we could give them the option to send in the short clip if it's, you know, good quality and no, you know, no loud noises in the background. And looking for a recommendation, you know, from this group on what a fair stipend might be for recording this short audio clip. You know, recognizing there'll probably be artists who do not elect to participate, in which case they would still have a blurb about their piece shared. We could just coordinate with someone else or hire someone to read a short snippet about that piece. But for the artists who do elect to participate, and again, we're, you know, probably 20 seconds or so-ish. I've actually written little short blurbs about most of these pieces. It's like a sentence or two. As you do in this tour, we don't want to make it too lengthy, but just kind of a fun little clip that can be incorporated into the tour. So again, floor is open for considerations of a stipend for the artists who choose to do the short audio recording.
Can we stop sharing again so we can see everyone? And so artists, jump in here. What would feel
interesting? 20 seconds, Stephanie, is that what
Yeah, something like that.
What about just maybe 50 to 100? I mean, 20 seconds, you can get only a couple of sentences out. And I do them free for when I'm in museum shows. I just thought I'd point that out. Usually they don't get a stipend when you do those audio things. Hello, anybody? Anybody else have any thoughts?
It's just food for thought. That's, yeah, thank you, Betsy.
50 bucks sounds fine to me.
Okay. Except as I said, I do them for free.
Uh-huh.
But that's my problem.
John, well, I think, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I think if you're thinking in terms of possibly like hiring an actor to do the commentary or to do that voice part, they, unless it's someone who volunteers to do it, they probably will expect to be paid some, you know, 50 doesn't sound out of place either for just a real short snippet.
Well, that would be to pay the artist for doing their own short little two or three sentences. Yeah. I mean, that's a bonus.
What about
because
where
you're
the
also promoting? Yeah, you're also promoting your own art.
Right.
And what artist doesn't want to do that? Well, some don't.
John, David, or Anne, Julie, thoughts?
Well, it would be an additional ask, if you will, to an artist to talk about their project, I guess. So $50 seems to make sense to me. What if they would propose to identify someone else that they would like to do their voice?
My guess is that some of them would have suggestions for alternative things that they could do. For instance, a video. How is the sound going to be transmitted? Is people going to be able to type it up on their phones, their own personal phones,
if you're on the tour on the app, you can push the button for audio on that stop.
Uh-huh. But you could easily also push the button for video, right?
No,
you can't.
There's no video.
Oh,
that's
no.
Not an option. With
oh, okay.
So, we're just talking audio here.
Never mind.
Yeah, I think it's a fine idea, and I would suspect most would be happy to do that. You know, if you give them guidelines and say, hey, be it made 20, 30 seconds, you know, say something about your piece, I think most would be willing to do that.
Yeah, I think you might get better response if you're paying them the stipend, you know, that you would get participation. So thanks again. So I think we're on for $50. Do we need to vote on that, or can we just?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All in favor of offering a $50 stipend to artists to make a recording about their work? And that is unanimous.
Okay.
Thank you, commissioners. Okay, onward we go. Temporary rain art installations.
Well, hello, I'm Sarah Maples. I'm the Sustainability Program Manager with the city, and I'm here to discuss the Rain Art project. So thank you for having me here. So rain art is temporary art that appears when it gets wet. Thank you, Stephanie, for putting it up. It's very easy to apply. There's a stencil and the environmentally friendly spray is used. It dries and then the art will last a few months. So the city's requesting designs from high school, post-secondary, emerging artists with the theme of the Community Climate Action Plan. So the theme being that we want the art to depict a positive future that addresses issues outlined in the Community Climate Action Plan. So to give you a few that we proposed, solutions to food insecurity, loss of tree canopy, natural disasters, greenhouse gas emissions, urban heat islands, pollution, and social inequities. So our hope is that the artists will provide 2 to 4 art concepts that are very simple in a positive theme that addresses one of these issues. We're recruiting volunteers to apply the art. So we're listed on the Day of Caring website, and Stephanie said they already have. We have someone.
I think we're full.
Oh, we're already full.
Yep.
So I'm glad to answer any questions, but I guess one key piece of this is selecting the art, and the hope is that the commission would have a role in that. And so I guess I just wanted to open that up for discussion and to get any feedback.
So what's the timeline, Sarah, for this installation?
That's a great, so Day of Caring is May, 4th, 2nd?
11th.
11th.
But there is a group, so we have two volunteer groups who are willing to install these. One is a church group, and they will do some on Saturday, May 6th, I think that's, and then May 11th.
Yeah, so it's coming up pretty quick.
Yes. But Sarah wanted to be able to announce the artists that are selected, up to 10, at EcoFest, which is
April 22nd.
Yeah, so really it would be deciding on those artists probably a few days even before April 22nd.
At least.
We're hoping that it will be installed in all quadrants of the city. And so we're thinking we would select up to 10 designs. Then those designs could be applied in multiple locations. So also, I guess
this will be on existing content.
Yes. Yes, and I should have brought up, thanks for asking that, hoping to put these at bus stops and on trails to kind of highlight the new infrastructure that we have, and then also other places as well.
So you can put down something like, it's raining.
We could, that would be funny.
I have a question. The artist will propose designs, yes? And then will they also be responsible for creating the stencils?
So there will be another company that actually creates the stencils, so they only need to provide the design. And the city for the stencils.
Okay, thanks.
And the artist will receive, the selected artist will receive a $500 stipend for their designs.
And I have a question.
Go ahead, Maria.
I'm just kind of wondering, are the designs going to be more kind of like silhouette type of designs, or are they going to be a lot more detailed?
They'll need to be very simple, and sort of the Rain Art guidance that they provide, and also because of the rapid reproduction, sort of the stencil framework, it's just going to have to be very simple, and that's outlined in the call.
Will these be spray painted through a stencil?
So it's a special spray that's environmentally friendly, and it only appears when it's wet. So it's not any kind of paint or a typical spray. It's specifically made for this purpose.
Okay, I'm confused. You said it can only be applied when it's wet. I thought it only shows up when it's wet.
I'm sorry. I meant seen. It can only be seen when it's wet.
Okay, thank you.
Here's one example in Minneapolis. So the one on the right here, this is what it looks like when it's wet. When that's dry, it would just look like cement.
Just disappears. Okay.
And so, you know, if we weren't to get a lot of rain for the 3 or 4 months that it's, you know, we could even bring a water bottle and splash We'll map the location so people can find them. There's actually an app that people, so when the volunteers install these, we'll have them use the app to map the actual locations, but we'll also have a spreadsheet in case someone doesn't want to use technology or an app or anything. So we'll have the locations identified for people to find, and they can go over to that bus stop and know that Rain Art's there. If it's not a wet day, they can, you know, bring a water bottle and throw water on it, and they'll still be able to enjoy that.
I think, who's that guy? The dancer and Singing in the Rain?
Oh, Fred.
Gene Kelly.
Kelly. I think a silhouette character of Gene Kelly, you know, spinning himself around a lamppost or something would be
If it was related to climate change solutions.
not just rain, climate change.
So it's the Community Climate Action Plan. So that's the theme. And it's supposed to be a positive future that addresses one of the issues in the climate action plan. So it's supposed to bring awareness to these issues. It's supposed to increase the understanding of climate challenges that Cedar Rapidians face, but then also the, you know, surprise and delight of the temporary art installation. And also it, you know, highlights, because it's emerging and high school, post-secondary, it highlights local knowledge and community skills and experiences that our residents have.
So there is a lot of alignment, like Sarah just pointed out, with the public art plan, the creating the surprise and delight, the fact that it's a temporary art installation, supporting local and emerging artists. And then on top of all of that, it's collaborating with another department. Sarah's part of the city manager's office. That's where the sustainability program is housed. So the public art plan also calls for more cross-departmental collaboration. So this is checking off a lot of dots in the public art plan.
How many locations are going to have this art?
We were hoping up to 160. So we haven't done this before, but we're going to try it out and we're going to see how far our volunteers can get. But although we'll have, you know, not that many designs, obviously, we can use the same designs over and over again in different locations. And we did, you know, we'll have a lot of spray. So it's just a matter of human power.
The picture you had up there of the people actually applying, they were using a paintbrush to apply.
Sarah, can you give me a sense of how many submissions we might get?
I do not have an idea.
So I'm just trying to think about how much time it might take to
evaluate, to look at and select the art pieces.
And are the stipends for each one chosen or per artist?
Per artist. So they submit, you know, 2 to 4 art concepts. Any of those chosen, regardless of how many are selected, they would get the stipend for doing the work. As long as there's one selected, right? That's a very important piece. So you can submit, if none of yours are selected, right, we're not going to give you the stipend. Right. So one of your pieces of art or multiple pieces of your art are selected, then you'd receive the stipend. Uh-huh.
So,
you mentioned that some of these might be by bus stops.
Yes.
Well, we just had a bus stop proposal here also. Are we thinking maybe a collaboration on this?
Well, fantastic timing, I think.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's probably on a longer timeline than this is.
Yes.
We have a meeting before this would be due, but I think if we got a lot of submissions, I don't know that there's time in a meeting to do that. So I'm thinking a committee would be a better.
Which also aligns, you know, the artist selection committee, and this group kind of has discussed that the past 2 meetings.
Yeah.
So this would really be kind of a first time to really launch that, you know, and I think if you wanted to recommend what your artist selection committee would look like, kind of like we did for Together We Bloom, then whoever's on that committee, you know, even before the deadline is April 2nd, but it would probably be ideal if that selection committee could start reviewing things ahead of time. And we know from past experience, most seem to wait till the last day. So things that came in ahead of time, you know, they're get some of that work done, and then the brunch would probably come in at the last minute, maybe.
So I wonder if it would be a good thing on this one to have a high school art teacher who, since we're definitely target audience for us.
Yeah.
Would it be appropriate to ask someone from the, I don't remember what the commission is, the one that's like about well-being and
wellness?
Well-being advisory committee.
Right. I think that would be a good okay. collaboration as well, because it's encouraging people to walk around and.
Yeah, I love it.
Other thoughts, folks?
The only question I have is beyond the scope of this group. Just curious, you talked about volunteers that are going to be doing the installation. Where are those going to be identified?
We put it in the Day of Caring as a project.
Okay, so you did.
So then the businesses that wanted to do that selected that as a project. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So yeah, you did. You were talking about the Day of Caring in May. Okay.
Yeah.
And then obviously we would want a volunteer from this group to sit on that too, I would think.
Or two, a couple.
The outside of Bruhemia are the tiled advertisements in the paper. Y'all familiar with this?
Yeah.
Down in the Nouveau neighborhood. That whole neighborhood was very active checking neighborhood, and the various businesses would invest in a block of concrete and basically in ceramic tile do a self-advertisement. So this is a much more, it doesn't change with the weather or the wetness, but it's another example of doing something to a sidewalk with a message in it, especially the advertising message, where it strikes me as being, you know, says, oh, that's a great idea. I think I'll do that for my business, you know. So on their own doorstep, they'll imitate us, but they'll be putting an advertisement down instead.
So let's focus back on the artist selection committee discussion. It was brought up, like a high school art teacher, a well-being advisory committee member, probably some members of this commission too. Were you asking for anyone's interest?
Yeah, please. I mean, I'm happy to do it.
I'm happy to be on a selection committee.
Julie? Great.
Anyone else?
How many people are needed for the selection committee?
I think it's flexible.
Oh, we have.
Yeah, I mean, Maria, if you're game, jump in.
Well, I will, but it just depends on, I'm still working full time, so I need to know if it's during a time when I can get together to do this.
I think last time it was all done virtually, Maria.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
so a lot of it was on own time, and then could probably coordinate, you know, schedules as far as, you know, finalizing things.
Oh, well, I mean, if I could do it that way.
Okay.
We did the big mural parking
lot.
Okay. So, Maria, Julie.
The review will be between April 2nd and April 22nd, right? Because the deadline to apply is April 2nd.
Right. I mean, it could potentially start a little earlier, though, Anne, the reviews, if we, you know, that way we're not waiting until the end.
Okay.
One other thing is we want to announce the name of the individuals who had art selected, but we're not going to feature. Actually, are we? I don't know. We might feature the art that day, or hopefully do that. So, yeah. I guess that is the full deadline. Sorry. I was trying to think if there's any wiggle room, and I was trying to create some, but there's not any.
I mean, sorry. Yeah, probably by the 19th, you know, to have it
that would
figured
be helpful.
Out. Yeah, for sure.
One other committee, you know, consideration, would we want someone who's maybe interested in climate, environment, climate action, sustainability, something like that?
That would be helpful.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Sarah, do you have some people that you could tap into maybe on that?
Maybe someone on the EcoFest committee. If the commission would like.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay.
I have one more question. I'm just looking at the immediate release, the call for artists, and it says that the decision will be made by the 14th of April.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, since there could be 160 locations, this also says 10 candidates, meaning artists, will be selected. So what's the ballpark of how many pieces or how many designs actually you'll need to choose?
Or how many?
Just throwing that out there. Yeah. Understanding that they can be repeated, I'm just wondering, for the sake of the committee, if there's a ballpark arena of how many designs need to be chosen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it says 10 candidates will be chosen.
And are the artists able to submit more than one design then?
Two to four.
So if an artist submits four designs and the committee likes all of them, will you take all of them?
Potentially, yes.
Will they get $200?
If you're selected, if one design gets selected or if all four get selected, you get the $500 stipend because you were selected and you submitted the designs that were asked for.
Okay.
We can maybe brainstorm a little bit. I have some initial thoughts about how many to be selected because we would get those stencils created. So do you want me to throw out a number, Stephanie?
Sure.
Maybe like 20 would be the maximum.
Yep.
Up to. And if you're like, you know what, really, there's only 10 here that we want, then there's only 10 and we can put those in more spots.
We could call it phase one.
And the idea with these stencils is that they'll be reusable. So, you know, in the future, this could be a, you know, a fun project to really kind of keep bringing forward. Yeah.
That seems reasonable, up to 20 designs, don't you think? Thank you for bringing that up, Ian. Okay, further thoughts? Or?
I have one further thought.
No.
Not likely to, it relates to this. I outside of my studio window, I look down on a big parking lot. I was able to watch that parking lot get poured, and it got poured in various stages. And apparently the concrete mix was different for each stage. And so there's this whole big area that was all part of one pour that's fairly light. And when it rains, it stays that way. And then, but there's other surrounding things, like they did the curbs first. Those are all a darker gray, and they get darker. It gets wet, and so there's a, that color difference in the concrete itself that I don't, that's not likely to apply to this project.
Well,
but
that's actually a good point, because the manufacturer of the rain arc suggests that you use the lighter color cement.
Yeah.
So that you have the contrast. You
sure.
Don't have it necessarily, but if you want to see it a little bit better, that's helpful.
Uh-huh.
So there is some guidance provided on sort of how you make these most effective, like best uh-huh. practices.
Yeah, well, for using existing concrete that's already there, we might be running a variety of different concrete treatments, because these guys either decided not to make it all the same color, or they just made it whatever color was available today and trucks were delivering or whatever. The rationale ones, if there was one at all.
Okay, so we're over time. So I want to be respectful of everybody's time. Further questions, and I assume we need to vote on this too.
I think so.
I think we do. It's going on public property. So all in favor of the temporary rain art installations? And no one is opposed. Wow, we are so agreeable today. Thank you, Commissioner. So this is forward. So we'll wait to get information from you, Sarah, or through Stephanie somehow.
Yeah.
On what we need to look at. I think that is everything on our agenda today. Any quick member updates or announcements? For the good of the cause. Seeing none, we are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you
thank
so
you.
Much for forward.
Thanks, everyone.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
For all the different sites that you did.